It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 896 for the 23rd of August, 2024. This week, sometimes the fastest and most efficient way to diagnose a problem with a computer involves creating a new account. In short circuits, when I increased storage on a tablet computer with a 1.5 terabyte micro SXDC memory card, I was surprised by the 10-year warranty it came with. I shouldn't have been. When you're looking for a new or replacement disk drive, a quarterly reliability summary from Backblaze can help with the decision. If you've ever experienced an inexplicable performance problem with a computer, one that has a mysterious cause that you just can't manage to identify, maybe it's time to create a new account on the computer. I had been wrestling with such a problem for several months. It included random slow keyboard response, lagging mouse movements, and astonishingly slow displays in Photoshop. There were no blue screens, no sudden black screen crashes, just a general lack of responsiveness. The computer has 64 gigabytes of RAM. The CPU is an Intel 11th generation i9 running at 2.6 gigahertz. The CPU is an NVIDIA RTX A3000 device with 6 megabytes of memory. It's not the fastest GPU on the block, but it's more than adequate for my needs. The Windows Resource Monitor shows no application that's using excessive resources. The overall load on the system is well within standard operating requirements, but the system's overall Passmark score is just under 7,000. That puts it in the 74th percentile, CPUs in the 57th percentile, 3D graphics in the 67th percentile, and disk in the 74th percentile. But 2D graphics are in the 46th percentile, and RAM is only in the 33rd percentile. That is simply unexpected, given the computer's specs. I thought the resource monitor would show one or more applications that were needlessly burdening the computer. That wasn't the case. The problem most severely affected Photoshop, making the application nearly unusable because of lags that delayed the user interface's response. Moving or resizing text or graphics elements was difficult because the modifications were no longer shown in real time. It became a frustrating exercise in click, drag, wait, click, drag, wait, click, drag, wait. So, two options existed. One would be to perform a full system recovery. That would require reinstalling all of the applications, setting up all of the defaults and preferences, and hoping for the best. And that would also take probably the better part of a week. Or I could create a new user that will retain all of the installed applications and settings, but eliminate many of the additional installed applications that start with Windows. The system's performance is generally adequate for website design, audio and video editing, word processing, and data management. Only Lightroom Classic and Photoshop suffered severe degradation, so I decided to give the new user option a try. The result was surprising, although not exactly overwhelming. The Passmark score increased from slightly under 7,000 to nearly 7,500. That's about a 7% increase. And the score placed the computer in the 79th percentile instead of the 74th. Still lower than what I would expect from this computer, based solely on the specs. Looking at before and after values for the various subsystems, 2D graphics performance increased 65% from 571 to 942. That suggested Photoshop's performance would see a significant improvement. Values for CPU performance, 3D graphics, memory, and disk all edged up slightly. CPU from just under 16,000 to 17,200, 3D from 14,300 to 15,400, and disk from 21,500 to a little less than 23,000. Memory speeds were up about 4% from 2,300 to 2,400. The numbers are one thing, but what about the actual performance? I was actually surprised by how much more responsive Photoshop is when I use the new account. Obviously, this is a workaround because I need to switch users whenever I want to use Photoshop. And clearly, the actual problem involves an application or a service that runs in my primary account, but not in the new account. And yes, I do need to do more research. Sometime, figure out what the actual cause is and decide whether I want to fix the problem or live with the workaround. But creating the new account did provide a solution that's good enough for now. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, when I bought a 1.5 terabyte SanDisk Ultra Micro SXDC memory card, I was surprised to see that it came with a 10-year warranty. I probably shouldn't have been surprised. Maybe the first question you're asking is about why I thought there was a need for a 1.5 terabyte data device the size of my thumbnail. Well, it's because I was running out of space on a Surface Pro tablet computer. The Surface Pro has a small disk drive, just half a terabyte, and I had enhanced that by adding another half terabyte with a secure digital card. But it's been a few years, prices have dropped, and I was running out of space on that half terabyte drive. First, I considered doubling the space with a 1 terabyte replacement for about $85, but then I found for an extra $20 I could buy 50% more space, so I'd be tripling the size of the D drive, not just doubling it. Well, that was a pretty easy decision. It arrived the next day. I copied all of the data from the half terabyte drive to the new drive and installed it in the tablet computer. So let's move on to why a 10-year warranty sounds extraordinary, but really isn't. The first thumb drives held an amazing, at the time, 16 megabytes of data. They sold for about $50. That was 1999, maybe 2000. So that's about $3.13 per megabyte. Today, you'll find a 10-pack of 1 gigabyte thumb drives for about $20. If I did the math right, that's $2 per gigabyte or 0.2 cents per megabyte. Secure digital cards are generally more expensive than thumb drives, but you can find a 32-gigabyte SanDisk Ultra Micro SXDC memory card for a little less than $8. Such a card would easily have been priced around $100 not many years ago. Keep those numbers in mind. I'll come back to that in a moment. As is the case with guarantees and warranties for storage products, only the physical device is covered. There's no provision for data recovery, and that is as it should be. Users are responsible for securing their own data. The warranty will replace the drive. It's up to the user to replace the data from backup. So that's one of several reasons why the 10-year warranty shouldn't have been either a surprise or a big deal. Data storage is a lot more reliable now than it once was. That's true for mechanical disk drives and solid-state storage, so it's less likely that the manufacturer will ever have to deal with a warranty replacement. That's actually good for everybody concerned. Because data recovery isn't included, what looks like an extended warranty can be offered with little risk to the manufacturer. If a storage device fails and the files haven't been backed up, recovery will be astonishingly expensive and may not even be possible. But that's not the manufacturer's concern. And third, there's cost. A storage device that once sold for $100 now costs less than a tenth of that. Manufacturers assume that the cost per unit of storage will continue to decline, so the drive that costs $100 today and was manufactured for maybe $60 or so will have a much lower manufacturing cost in 5 or 10 years. Replacing a small number of failed devices over a decade can easily be built into the selling price, and that's just for the even smaller number of consumers who will recall they have a 10-year warranty and act on it instead of just going out and buying a replacement. The warranty isn't quite a sales gimmick, but it's certainly not a major selling point. When looking for a new or replacement disk drive, you're probably interested in reliability regardless of the disk drive's warranty. Online backup provider Backblaze offers some clues. Backblaze, the organization I use for online continuous backup, publishes a quarterly report. That report summarizes the hard drive failure rates for a lot of commonly used disk drives. That report was released as I was writing about 10-year warranties for secure digital cards. Most mechanical disk drives have 3 or 5 year warranties. The report is worthwhile because Backblaze has a lot of drives in operation. The company lists 288,665 hard disk drives and solid-state drives in their servers at various locations around the globe. The survey disregards 3,789 boot drives, consisting of just under 3,000 SSDs and about 900 mechanical hard drives. So the report actually examines 284,876 hard drives. The drives range in size from 4 to 22 terabytes. They come from HGST, Seagate, Toshiba, and Western Digital. During the second quarter, Backblaze recorded 1,197 disk failures, about 1.7% of the drives in operation. The operational disk drives range in age from just under 4 months to 99.5 months. And yes, that means some of those disk drives have been operating for more than 8 years. The report describes what it calls a normal failure profile, and I quote, "The 8-terabyte Seagate drive has a failure rate for the first 60 months that was consistently around 1%. That's Seagate's predicted annualized failure rate. After 60 months, the annualized failure rate increased as the drive aged. That was expected." So overall, failure rates range from 0% to nearly 12% among the various manufacturers and models. Often the drives with the lowest apparent failure rate are those with few drives in service. One Seagate model with a 0% failure rate had just 462 units in operation. Age also clearly has an effect on the failure rate. Another Seagate model with 1,096 drives in operation had the 11.9% failure rate, but keep in mind those drives had been running for an average of nearly 5 years. The report says in quarter two of 2024, two drive models had zero failures, a 14-terabyte Seagate model and a 16-terabyte Seagate model. Both have a relatively small number of drives and drive days for the quarter, so their success is somewhat muted. But the 16-terabyte Seagate model has a very respectable 0.57% lifetime failure rate. Backblaze has been recording and reporting disk information for more than a decade. The reports examine telemetry data of the drives, including their smart stats and other health-related attributes. Customers of Backblaze will be happy to learn that the reporting process does not read or otherwise examine any customer data stored on the drives. And if you'd like to see the full data set that the report is based on, you can download that from Backblaze's DriveStats webpage. If you're in the market for a new disk drive, the report from Backblaze can be a very helpful resource. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.